dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
Let's talk all things trots for the next 20 minutes or so. And joining us is Jason Bonington and Michael Howard. How are you guys?
Very good, thanks, Nuts. Just sort of emerging out of the post-Crown Coma. It's always an enormous build-up, as you well know, and a two-day carnival or a night-and-day carnival this year, Mick, with some wonderful performances on the Friday night, and then, of course, on Super Sunday, we saw some terrific performances as we expected, but I don't know how you're feeling. Have you sort of come through it? You're a little bit low. Where are you feeling on
this? It's a little hazy, but it was a ripping day, and it just doesn't let up, does it, Breeders' Crown Sunday? It's just Group 1 after Group 1. Yep. It's fantastic. $1.35 million gets dished out. And look, the hail was a bit of a dampener, Bon, probably especially for you when you're out on track. But to be honest, it's sort of just, in some ways, added to the atmosphere of this crazy day that just doesn't let up.
We'll chat about Kerry Manning in a moment, Nats, but she really did let me down. I was on Sky, and it was the first interview I did, and I said, it's hailing golf balls here. And she put on this face as in, oh, look, you might have overdone that a little bit, Jace. I said, mini golf, maybe, very small golf balls. But it was a very cold, wet morning. I was actually, at the end of the day, there'll be a debrief, as there always is, but it'd be interesting to see how people felt about the crowd. I thought it was relatively good, considering the fact that it was, you know, it felt like, well, it wasn't hell, it was almost the opposite of hell. It was so cold in the morning to get out there. So it was a similar sort of crowd and plenty of atmosphere, plenty of excitement right throughout the course of the day.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that we've learnt from Breeders' Crown. First of all, a Back in Black, a win for the ages.
Yeah, Mick, look, I know this was a Group 2 on a day replete with Group 1s, 8 Group 1s out of the 10 races, but the 4-year-old Entising Gelding's final won by Don't Hold Back. I thought this was the story of the day in many ways. Mario Attard, of course, trains this wonderful little horse and has chosen to drive him pretty much this entire preparation. We go back 14 months ago, Gavin Lang drove Don't Hold Back to win its first Group 1 in the Vic Bred Super Series for the 3-year-old boys, but he sort of stuck fat, and at times you've heard, you know, people in the background saying maybe hand over the reins, even if you want to drive him in standard races. When it comes to an opportunity to win the big money or a Group 1 or a Group 2, hand the reins back over to Gav or to one of the leading drivers if you want to ensure you give yourself your best opportunity to win that race. He didn't. He said, no, I'm probably not going to get another horse as good as Don't Hold Back. I'm going to drive him. He drove the perfect race, and Don't Hold Back exploded away for a really impressive and memorable victory. And I'm sure you were there. I was in the middle of the track, but the celebrations would have been huge, as they were 14 minutes earlier.
Oh, they were enormous. And that's the thing. He is the owner, trainer, the driver. Yeah, so yep. He doesn't answer to anyone, Mario. He can sort of make his own script on this one. And there certainly has been, I guess, backlash because people love a good horse and Don't Hold Back is certainly that. But I love these stuck fat. It was interesting after the race because he did talk trackside after the win and he talked about the amount of pressure that he's been carrying. That he wasn't sure this horse, as much joy as it's brought him, had actually been good for his health because of some of those problems. But it was incredible. The hail, really, that was the main hailstorm I think we got for the day, which just added to the atmosphere. It was almost like an old Coliseum thing. It was crazy. So everyone just quickly, I was on the lawn, everyone flooded under cover, but I was still watching. With about 400 metres to go, the hail was possibly at its worst, which didn't affect Mario's supporters, and they're a huge band of supporters. They just came flooding onto the lawns. There was hail going everywhere. They were dancing around in the hail.
No, exactly. It was a flood of different kinds here, a flood of support. And,
yeah, it was incredible.
Well, you wouldn't believe that Mario is he's the sole owner of the horse, isn't he?
He's listed as, for sure, yeah.
Well, there must be small emotional or spiritual shares from about 426 other people because they celebrate like it's 1999, don't they, whenever he wins a big race. So
It's sort of this almost Maltese community or something along those lines, but friends of, and that they all get around. We saw it last year at the Breeders' Crown. It was great to see it again 12 months on. It was that same jubilation, and it was a ripping win. It's a very good horse, and it was a great win against good quality, which hopefully we'll get to see a bit more of that from Don't Hold Back, because I remember when I spoke to Mario recently, I think it might have been Vic Bred night, he was a bit down about the horse. He said it just wasn't travelling well. It just hadn't been as good this campaign, and so it has started to turn that corner for him again, and hopefully continue to give him a little bit of delight, and we'll maybe see this as a really good free-for-all.
That's the other thing, Nance. You never know with these horses. Sometimes you think, well, it was a pilot error or all the rest, but I do believe this is a horse who's had a lot of issues over the journey, and you know, you don't get a 24-hour by 24-hour update on good horses, do you, and know exactly their little issues and niggles. So potentially a couple of times when we haven't seen Don't Hold Back at his best, it's purely because he hasn't been 100% right. And what a wonderful training performance as well as driving performance to get him set for another big Group 2 race on Sunday.
Definitely. And also, Puppet and Emma simply dominated Super Sunday.
Yeah, no, it was amazing because during the week I was talking a lot about the fact that they'd only ever won four Breeders' Crowns, four or five. Four of them were last year, though. Now, three of them on Super Sunday. So all of a sudden, they've turned it around and they're now saying, look, we are spending more effort targeting these series, and now they've become the dominant team. Emma Stewart and, of course, Clayton Tonkin I referred to, and Chris Alford's always a huge part of that team as well. He obviously got the Group 1 win to kick off the day with Wobbly too. We'll talk a little bit about later, Mick, but I think still, and Emma's been pretty clear on this, we don't love the time of year. Middle of winter is very, very hard. You're keeping the horses up for a long period of time, age-restricted horses. But they're now saying, regardless of all that, we know what a professional, huge organisation we are. We have to target the Breeders' Crown. It's the richest futurity series in Australasia, and they're starting to win these races now. I don't know how much we can talk about. Obviously, it's being addressed or discussed, debated behind closed doors, whether it's going to stay this way or the breeding season and the racing season is going to change and the Breeders' Crown will go to summer. But certainly a great effort to turn this around to an extent. They've dominated the Vic Bred for several years, but now they're dominating the Breeders' Crown as well.
Yeah, the wider discussion about time is not something I can necessarily shed a big light on, although I expect it'll be a fairly long process and one that will involve a lot of discussion. But in the case of Emma, absolutely, when I spoke to her ahead of Vic Bred, she said, this is the carnival we love most, and they do dominate that. And I think it's partially because Breeders' Crown, you do see the Kiwis come across with that real freak talent that can pick off the Victorians. And I guess that only makes all the more prominent when they do actually get up and they do win. And they were outstanding. Those two victories where Chris and Emma combined on Sunday, I thought were possibly two of the highlights, perhaps with Don't Hold Back. Maybe that's a little bit of Victorian bias, but Nostravilla, I thought, was incredible. That filly to overcome the challenges she got and to turn the tables on Our Better Joy, who only a week before the Crown Dalgety, a Kiwi horse, had given her first black mark with that first loss. Nostravilla was extraordinary in winning that $285,000 Group 1. And again, it was great to see the celebrations from the Nostravilla team, Anthony Caruana, the owner, on the lawns again. And that's what Breeders' Crown so much about. It is about the owners. But then our little general, of course, is just he just does not let up. And just is the horse. He's certainly had fortune in winning those three Group 1s that he's got in recent times, going back to the two-year-old Breeders' Crown, the Derby, and this one. But it's just that I give huge credit to the fact that Emma has him ready for the big day, and huge credit to the fact that Chris Alford is always ready to take advantage of any advantage he can get.
Yeah, well, I know we're only less than a minute away from Angle Park, but our little general story is quite incredible. He's not the Stephen Bradbury of the trots, but twice now, Major Mark Purden runners Vincent in the Derby, and now the More the Better, have galloped in Group 1 races that he's won.
Yep.
And then the other one, Tingira Beach, I think maybe might have galloped. So
it's $1.65.
We take nothing away from the Ripper Little Horse. He finds a way to win, and he hasn't just done it once. He's done it now on three occasions, been able to win Group 1s. But as Mick alluded to, the fact that the horse is ready to roll and take advantage of that situation, that the puppet's ready to do it, and then the horse himself can do it, a credit to the whole team. And he's now a defending Breeders' Crown champion. Whether if he never wins another Group 1 for his entire career, I still think we'll be looking back on our little general and what a wonderful age-restricted career he has had.
Almost $500,000 now in stakes.
Winners on RSN 927. It's now 7-12, and we're talking trots on this week's edition of Gate Speed. And one of the most improved mares, you'd have to say, in the state has been Amaretto. Every time Kira Manning raises the bar with her, she meets it, and gee, there might be still very much more good races in her. She's absolutely flying at the moment.
On a side note, I saw this article, Mick, I don't know if you've seen it, but Karen Manning's about to break the record for female jockeys, drivers, any horsewoman in terms of total wins, which is an extraordinary performance. I mean, she's a million miles in front of the next harness driver worldwide, but taking over from the lead, I can't recall the name just in the moment, but the leading jockey or female jockey of all time. So, I mean, she's just an absolute phenomenon. But I think what might be underrated with all the driving success she's had right throughout her career is what an extraordinary trainer she is these days. And to have this horse Amaretto come down from Sydney, Ash Grives had done a terrific job with Amaretto, but she has gone to a whole new level and then a whole new level again. So she's won over $100,000 since she's come down to Kieran, but that doesn't even tell half the story. What we saw on Friday night, now let's put this in perspective. In the middle of winter, virtually freezing cold conditions, they've gone within 0.8 of a second of Lazarus's track record for 2,240 metres at Tabcorp Park Melton, and she's come from off the pegs and off the speed to win. And she's joined in to a horse like San Carlo, who found the front, so joined in with him and gone straight past him. This is phenomenal. Now we're not just talking about a hugely improved mare, we're talking about a massive, massive player in the Victoria Cup, and maybe an opportunity. I know in recent years we've had Adore Me do a great job. Baby Bling won a Miracle Mile, maybe not the strongest Miracle Mile of all time. We're talking way back to your sort of Blossom Ladies. I mean, even TaylorMade Lombo, I don't think, got a really big Grand Circuit feature. Amaretto is so in the zone right now, she would have to be a contender for the Victoria Cup, Mick.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And the great thing is we're going to get to see more of Amaretto, I think, because she's staying on in Victoria. I think the plan was to take take her back home, but she's flying in Kez's camp, so we're going to see more. But that was a ripping race, wasn't it? That was almost Victoria Cup worthy. Perhaps it was just a couple of big names like a Chicago Bull or a Hector JJ tossed in, and you've got a Victoria Cup Grand Circuit style race. So she did it against the best. It was a little bit of a step up for her, really. It's a little bit. She'd been racing, I guess, in the mare's races. They threw her in against the boys, and she took on and bloused the best, including Messini. Great to see
well,
Messini
back. Well, everyone wanted to tap you on the shoulder after the race and say, how was she? What she's been doing? How was she paying $8 or $10? But you sort of, from an analyst perspective, I didn't do the form for that meeting, but you have to sit him down and say she's drawn Waters in the front line against San Carlo, who's the most spruiked potential Grand Circuit horse in Victoria.
Drawn perfectly.
Yep. TCB McRae, My Kiwi Mate Messini. This was an outstanding field. And one of the most amazing things, Nudge, is Amaretto actually ran the arm. She didn't drop back and come with one run and take advantage of the fact that they'd gone quickly early. She was involved in the early burn. So this has just been a phenomenal improvement. And a horse by $1 million cam defeated TCB McRae, who's by Ponder. These are not high-profile size. So sometimes people think the rich only get richer in this game and that you have to go to the absolute best stallions and all the rest of it. But a couple of lower-profile stallions also putting their name up in lights. And I thought a great run by TCB McRae, who's only been at Lara J Farm now at Greg Sugar's new place that he's got with Jess Tubbs for a very short period of time. And San Carlo was brave. The issue for San Carlo Nards is whether he can peel off a 26 and change quarter if he's got a very fast horse in his back. We know how good he is at running brutal sectionals one after the other, but the next test for him is to have an extremely quick horse like Amaretto following him in a race and still be able to hold off that late turn of foot.
The dividends up at Angle Park on the first, number 5, Natural Fury at 16.63.10, 7 Justice Elite 4.60, 2 Trademark Bella 4.30, 6 4th, Quinella 70, Exacta 178.30, Trifecta 330.50 in the first for $4,797.40. We're only 4 minutes off of Goulburn, so let's have a look at our next points. First of all, let's touch a little bit on Wobbly and Pet Ensure that locals get their chance to shine.
Yeah, well, I thought there were two things that needed to happen, Mick, to sort of make it lift the atmosphere of the day, other than Mayweather dealing with McGregor, which he did a little bit later on. But Wobbly had to win race one because he was $1.10. Everyone wanted him to be able to shine on the big stage for Alison and Chris Alford, and Patacula, who everyone has believed there's been a grand injustice that she wasn't able to win a race like the Breeders' Crown yet, often due to horrifically bad draws in big races that she had to win. Both those things happened, and it made a great day for Victoria.
Yeah, fairy tales come true, don't they, on Breeders' Crown Day. Look, it's interesting just to have a little look back. This is what Chris Alford had in his hands. When you look at the steward's notes, driver caution late in parade ring, fractious before start, out of draw mobile starts, shied, warning issued, all these things. These are the Wobbly's had enough. Wobbly's had an enormous campaign. He is a handful, but he's just got such high speed that he's sort of in a class of his own. Yeah. Chris wisely let him run on Sunday, and in the end it almost cost him the race because LaGrange just was able to really finish off well, but they would have been wrapped. They deserved this result. Just quickly, Wobbly, 10 wins now, so that equals Blitzen Calder's two-year-old record. 180,000 is only 2,000 less than Om Stately's two-year-old trotting record. 5 listed races equals LJK Phoenix. So he's at the absolute top of all those three marks.
And looking at the fact that Mile and Medal's up for grabs at Beckley Park tomorrow.
Well, I'll let you run this one, Mick. Obviously, we've got this has been a relatively new initiative over the last couple of years with the Vic Bred Super Series and the Breeders' Crown. But rather than consolations, there are sets consolations at Geelong tomorrow night. We've got some good horses going around in the lower divisions of the Breeders' Crown.
Yep, certainly haven't got into all the fields, but we've got 6 races, I think it is, for the 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and 4-year-old. It's the silver paces. They're each worth $30,000 a pop, a lot of them. These are the ones that maybe they missed out. They didn't get a lot of luck on semi-final night. They might have got a bad run. Now, we do have some quite quality fields. Particularly, I'm having a little look at 3-year-old fillies. We'll get to see, especially in the trot, the likes of Nieto step out, who we definitely think is of that top quality. So you're going to see some really good racing at Geelong tomorrow night. I'm going to be there and just to savour that last bit of Breeders' Crown.
And also Humble Switch from Super Sunday as the season ends.
Yeah, this is not... we won't have the same quality at Maryborough on Thursday night, but it is the last day of the harness racing or the standard bred season. Are you going here as well, Mick? Because you've got a pretty busy week if you're going to Geelong and Maryborough.
Cody's going to pick this
Cody's
one up for
it. Cody and Al's going to look after this. But the Humbletonian, as it's now known, you can take us through this, Mick. Basically, it's for horses who haven't had the opportunity to break through the course of the season, and quite often we're looking at horses who've had plenty of cracks at it, and it gives them opportunity. Every horse is going to walk away from here with a bonus and every horse is going to, well, every winner's going to walk away with a bonus, and every winner's going to walk away with a one next to their name for the very first time. So it's a great initiative. It's been going a little bit longer than the silver and bronze, probably 8 or 9 years, but great to see these horses going around on the last day of the season.
Yeah, it is a ripper, isn't it? 10 races all that we've got. They're all Vic Bred eligible. So of the $5,000 races, if they have a win, they get $7,000 on top of that. Enormous for owners. And we do see some horses who have certainly done a few laps and deserve their chance. Arch of the runners, Archduke Joseph, 67 starts, no wins, 5 seconds, 4 thirds. It's finished twice in two of his last five starts. So maybe this is the chance for Justin Heaton and Jason Lee. They step out in race five. There's plenty of those sorts of stories. Another is Horry, 51 starts without its win. It gets a chance in race three in the trot for Kelvin Davies and Mark Hayes. So we hope a few of those crack through. And there's also a little horse in race 10 who, from an ownership perspective, we're certainly very keen on, and that's Live on Broadway. That's the Stable of Stars horse, the horse that's got a great stable of owners like Moana Hope, Danny Frawley, Gary Lyon, Hamish McLaughlin, Tim Watson, Jason Dunstall, Craig Hutchison, Liam Pickering, Dr. Turf, it goes on. These guys are promoting the ownership message, and that horse is having only its second start.
Yep, so we really look forward to that, and fingers crossed for Live on Broadway, Nance.
Definitely. Guys, thank you, and we'll chat more soon. There